I want to teach them, you know, work ethic. Do something you love. College is cool. You want to do it, fine. Find a way to do something that you love.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and on the line, I'm very happy to have Joe Gaudette. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Joe. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, Art. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about fatherhood in a second. I stumbled upon your great work on social media. There's a lot of great things we're going to get into, of course, like I said, fatherhood. But first of all, man, you have such a wide range of voiceovers and different impressions and all of these things wrap into one. I'm very fascinated by people in your career field, man. Talk a little bit about, give me that origin story. I'm a comic book geek too, so talk about how you got into this business, sir.
Well, I mean, I always did theater and, you know, independent films and some TV work, but it was always, you know, doing things with my voice just sounded the most interesting. And it was just one of those things I always did. So I never thought about, oh, I wonder what I want to do with my life. I just was like, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to act in commercials and with my voice and cartoons. And I just, you know, slowly but surely, it sounds cliche, but I thought, oh, everybody could do this. So I was just, I never thought it was anything special. It was just something I always did until I realized there's an art to it. There's, you know, so much studying that goes on is listening to a voice, copying it, tweaking it. And as the years go on, you know, I have like a Rolodex of stuff that I've done, you know, and I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. Let me delete that off social media so I can have the most current stuff. But it's funny. I would say about 80% of the voiceover work I do is in my own voice, which okay. I'm happy that pays the bills, but it's that 20% of, oh man, we got to get this guy to do this voice. Or, I mean, there's a bunch of us in the industry. A lot of my friends are in Hollywood, but I'm like the only one out of all the voice actors that I know really closely who's on the East Coast, not in that mix. So it's very, very funny to kind of sit back and look at it from the outside and think, okay, what are they doing that I can do or have to work harder because I'm not in Hollywood? So that's why, I mean, I post a lot of the impressions and the face swaps and the deep fake kind of things to just get my name out there, because we live in an age where, all right, it's the internet. You can reach a wide audience. You don't have to live in Hollywood.
Yeah, man, no doubt. And that kind of brings me up to something that, you know, I remember when I interviewed Jim Brewer, and he was saying that, you know, after Half Baked came out, like, there were so many people like, oh, you should move out to Hollywood and LA and all that stuff. And it was a very fatherhood answer, where he's like, no, I don't want to go out there. I've seen, you know, a couple of families that I know that went out there, and it kind of just damaged everybody. Not saying it's always going to damage people, but he's like, you know, I'm going to stay out here. And he just said, like, you know, my career probably could have been bigger or better and all that. But you bring up a good point. Now, I mean, that was, you know, when Half Baked came down, that was probably like in the, you know, 90s, late 90s and all that. And now with the internet, like you said, there's a lot of different things that you can be anywhere and still be global, especially being on the East Coast and not being in, like, you know, the Hollywood circle, so to speak. Do you find any advantages from that?
I mean, there's a lot of advantages. I don't feel the pressure. I mean, I like it because when I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, LA. So I already have a jump on the day on everybody. So nice. I mean, I market a ton. So I'm marketing a ton to clients and studios and producers in LA. So, I mean, it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I'm done with all my marketing stuff that I got to do. It's waiting in their inbox. So it's like, okay, I'm ahead of the game, but also I have that outside perspective. I'm not in the mix. So I find that I have to work harder because I'm not there. I see that as an advantage because I'm not just sitting around waiting for my agents to get me work. I get work through my agents, but I'm just like, I don't want to do all that stuff. I got to get half of the stuff done before the kids wake up anyway. So that's why I'm, you know, I think that's my advantage.
Let me ask you this too, because I work from home, right? And when people say like, oh, it must be great with our professions, right? Respectively, like, you are with the kids, you know, like, talk about like some of the challenges. Of course, you said getting up early, but, and I know you have a soundproof booth and all that, but what are some of the challenges as a father to, you know, work from home?
I'm lucky. My wife also acts as my manager, but she just went back to work because she was like, all right, the kids are old enough. They're in preschool and kindergarten. So they're finally out of the house, like, as of September, but it was like, we couldn't stand each other. You're on top of each other. You're trying to like work around stuff. I have a recording session. Hey, can you watch the kids while I do this? Or I have my mother-in-law watch the kids. it's a big juggling act. Or, I mean, there's been times I'm on a live session with this big company in LA. It's for a video game. And you just say, I want da-da. And I'm like, can you guys hold on for a second? Like, and they understand, but it's just like, yeah. And I don't get mad. You laugh, like, maybe 5 years ago, I would have got mad at that and been swearing and stuff. But I'm at the point, I'm like, listen, they get it. They get that I have kids. I'm separate from the house. It's a different, like, studio in the back of the house. So it's, but it's that, you know, you hear the jiggling on the door of the booth. And I'm like, oh, God, what is it? You open the door and you just look down. Oh, hey, little minion. How are you? Hi, Dada. What are you doing? I'm like, all right. And I got to get that light that Uncle Jesse has. On Full House when he's got the light on. Hey, Daddy's recording. Like, it's, and I tell my wife, I'm like, can we just get it? Because then the kids will know. Green means come in. Red means don't even go anywhere near the studio. So it's like, it's real funny. People understand. And worst case scenario, it's not like you're doing a live play or anything like that. All right, let's just take five and we'll come back. But it's so frustrating sometimes.
You mentioned, you know, the cliche, like, oh, I want to get into that. Anybody can do it. There you go. Talk about maybe one of the hardest jobs you had to get and you finally got, and like, it meant a lot to you because of the blood, sweat, and tears you put in to get that.
It was my second show cartoon that I starred in. I was lucky. One of the first jobs I ever got was like a bit part on a cartoon. So this was like, oh, awesome. And then I was still working a full-time day job at the time. And you get frustrated. You're trying to have this career work. There's tears. There's, you know, that, you know, you see it in movies all the time, they, right before they get their quote unquote big break. And this wasn't even my big break, but it was like, you're frustrated and you're working a job. It doesn't matter how hard you work. You're getting paid the same amount as somebody who's not even doing the work, showing up late, banging out of work because they don't feel it's, yeah, I'm frustrated. So I picked up the phone on my lunch break and I just called every recording studio and animation studio in the New England area. And I just pitched myself and I got lucky. And it was this place in Boston called Soup to Nuts. And they were a production company and they animated stuff. They did a lot of stuff for home movies, a lot of John Benjamin stuff, a lot of stuff for adults. I think it's Adult Swim, Dr. Katz, all that stuff. And so they just happened to catch them at a good time. I went in for an audition and it was a bunch of auditions at the, you know, in a row. And I finally booked it and it was a Saturday morning cartoon on NBC. And it was amazing. It felt amazing. And I still had a full-time job at the time. So I couldn't tell anybody. I had to save up vacation time. They would send a car from the studio to my work in Back Bay in Boston and drive me to the recording studio to record the cartoon. It was like, I felt like a celebrity, but I couldn't tell anybody. It was finally everything coming to fruition that I always wanted. I'm like, oh, I'm on a Saturday morning cartoon. So it was awesome. And, you know, but you can't get comfortable because what happens? Shows get canceled. We were canceled after two seasons. So I'm, you always got to be hungry. I'm not afraid to do the work nobody else wants to do. So that's how you put food on the table. You can't just sit around and wait. I mean, it's great. Okay, I got all these things going for me. But what happens? What if all of a sudden the industry tanks or the economy goes to crap and you got to worry about that? It's like I'm constantly working so that I can have, you know, almost not a residual income, but I know, okay, this I'm probably going to make X amount this month. All right, well, fine. Let's sign up the kids for hockey. Let's sign up the kids for a swim lesson. So you don't have to worry about that. It would be great to hit that big, big gig and it would set you up for just, you know, years of not having to worry. But I'm just not complacent. I always want to do better.
Nice, man. Love that drive that you got. And it shows too, because, like, again, I follow you on all forms of social media, especially like LinkedIn, and you're giving people hints and tips. And, you know, you got that go get it mentality, which is fantastic. And, you know, I'm so glad that things are doing well. But going back, because I remember when I wanted to get in radio, I got in radio before I started doing this.
Yeah.
When I first got, it was early morning because I just was a newbie cracker. A mic, so to speak, and I remember like waking up at 4 because I'm like, I'm gonna hear myself talking about this is Journey, now let's go into Foreigner, right? And I was like, I got up, I wanted to hear it. How surreal was it when you were watching that Saturday morning cartoon and hearing something that you produced?
Yeah, it was very surreal because it's like I still get excited to this day, but I mean, it does wear off after a while. You know, it doesn't become just work, but it's like, okay, all right, I did that, I was there, cool. It's like it becomes the work, but I'm happy. I'm proud of all of it. But that was like the one thing that I'm just like, oh my God, my kids are watching this. They came out with toys. My kids have the toys now. Like, it was just insane to see that. It's like, I was very, very proud. It was just a weird, out of body experience because you're watching it. I know that's me. Just to see everything come together, to see the animators work hard, the producers, the script writers, the, you know, the interns, like everybody, it was a group effort. I remember going into the studio early sometimes, watching the animators work and animate our stuff and having them say, listen, Joe, you gave us so much stuff to animate. Like the improv was amazing. You really got into this character. And that made me feel like $1 million because you take it seriously. It's like, oh my, they, because of that, like just because I did my job, they're excited to animate this and stuff. And it was, yeah, I was very proud of that. I was very proud of that.
I love that, man. And when I do have a chance to chat with creative people like yourself, voice acting and all that, and if it is on a show and all that, you know, you did mention that you would go to the studio, but have there been certain shows that you had to voice just completely from your studio, Netflix and who?
Yeah, that was the only one that I ever had to go to the studio for. I could do small pickups from my studio, but they wanted everything to match up. And I mean, I do remote sessions. I would say 99.999%. of the work I do, I'm at my home studio. I don't remember. I have not been out of my studio to record in probably 2 years.
Wow. Okay.
But that's the way the industry's going. It's a full recording studio in my house with the booth. So it's like, I don't need to. And that's the great thing about the industry. You don't need to spend like $1 million to have your own recording studio. I started off in my walk-in closet with clothes surrounded me. I mean, I did national commercials like that. Now, yeah, I make a little bit more money so I can have my own booth and all the equipment that goes with, and I can patch into different studios without having to leave. It's amazing. But I mean, you don't need $1 million to start, you know, into the industry anymore. But I love being at home because they don't really do ensemble reads like they used to.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, Joe's going to record his stuff, and then we might give reference tracks to the other actors, and then, okay, we'll do this. And that's how they do it. It doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to have the whole cast in LA anymore. It's great.
Nice, man. And the different technology and all those different things with social media and how you share things, you know, Ryan Reynolds, Michael J. Fox, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think I've talked to you about this before, but you know, for the listeners on this podcast, I kind of want them to get your perspective. Has anybody reached out to you from whoever you do an impression of and be like, hey, nice job, spot on, or anything along those lines?
I mean, I remember Jim Brewer reached out to me when I was like doing him, like I did a face swap and I just did his laugh and I was just kind of like, like I did that little laugh that he does at the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes. Like I was doing funny stuff like that. I've had Ice-T reach out. I know Schwarzenegger's aware of me because he had to sign off on some likenesses that I did for him when they pitched the show. And, you know, sometimes I do a lot of like trailers that they'll pitch to different celebrities and they'll take lines and scenes from previous movies to make a new movie that they want to pitch to have this celebrity do. And they pitch it to the studio and they'll reanimate the mouth and sometimes just do the voice off camera to kind of sell the idea that they're trying to sell to the actors. But like I said, Arnold, he's aware of me. I've never heard from him, but he is aware. I mean, it'd be cool to meet all these guys. Cause it's like, I don't think I'd be starstruck, but I would just respect. Cause I got into the industry because of Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and Back to the Future. That's the reason why I wanted to become an actor.
Yeah.
Like anybody, you see something inspired when you're a little kid, you're like, man. And now it's like, I get to do this kind of stuff for a living. It's amazing. But I know, you know, a bunch of them are aware, but you know, you tag them and stuff. You hope they reach out, but they're probably like, you know, Ryan Reynolds would probably see him like, wow, that's okay. And then next, you know, he'll go back to whatever he's doing. But it's, you know, they're busy people. They don't have time to respond to everybody.
The drive and the perfectionist that you are, how hard is it to shut off that creative brain and try like, oh, maybe if I could work on this a little bit more, this impression or this character? Like, are you always mentally like in the back of your mind working on something or no?
Yeah. I mean, I was just talking to my wife and my cousin the other day. It's like, I love being creative. I love having a million things going on in my head at the same time. It helps with the creativity. The business aspect, I'm pretty business driven, so I know how to stay on topic. But at the end of the night, when I'm in bed, my brain doesn't shut off. So I was just actually on the phone with my doctor before this call. Like I want to talk to him. Like, what can I do besides exercise? And I'm like, I don't even want to go into meds and stuff like that. My mind won't shut down.
Yeah.
Like it just won't. And I sleep well and I sleep very well, but it's that last 10-15 minutes before bed that my mind just won't shut down. I'll have an idea. I'm like, oh, I got to go record something, or I have to go write this down. Like it just never shuts off. And it sucks because I just want peace just for one day. You know, it's not like voices in my head are talking. It's just like there's a hamster on a wheel,
yeah,
and he won't stop. I'm like, dude, you gotta stop. So I don't know, maybe I have to get a cat or something, and I'll stop the hamster in my wheel. It never shuts down. It sucks.
I like that, man. Very cool. I feel like, I mean, just for my job, I gotta like kind of think about certain things, or if something pops up on TV, or if I'm reading something, I'm like, oh, that'd be a great article, or this will be. Then all of a sudden, yeah, I put a note in my iPhone, and I'm just like, I gotta shut it off. And there are days, like you said, like at night, where you're trying to shut things off, and it just won't happen. You're like, how am I gonna get to bed? How the hell am I getting to bed? So,
but like even in terms of social life, like when I'm with my buddies, most of my buddies are within a mile of me, and we all go golfing and we all hang out with the kids. I don't talk about my career when I'm with that, because it's just like, nobody cares. Like, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah. Like, it's just, we're all, I mean, they break my, you know, they bust my chops about all that stuff, but it's, yeah, like, I don't, it's just a job. It's like, all right, you're a mechanic. All right, you're a fireman. Yeah. Cool. Like, I don't say, you fighting fires today? Did you shave so your mask fits properly? Like, I don't go into all that crap. We just hang out, we drink, and play golf, and just have a good time. Like, that's, like, I'm glad we live where we live. We moved out of Boston to Connecticut, and we just have farmland, and it's quiet, and we can all raise the kids, and nice. It's just, you're not keeping up with the Joneses. That's what I love about this area. It's just, like, I feel so very content in the family life now, because the kids are in a good school system, and we have so many friends in the neighborhood that we hang out with. I mean, at a given time, like, there'll be 20 of us just hanging out at somebody's house, because there's just so many people in the neighborhood. It's almost like an open door policy. It's great for the family.
Nice. Just got to go back to that one line throughout. Do you shave so your mask can fit you?
Right? That's what you got to do. You can't have a beard when you're a fireman.
I love it,
you can
man.
Have a mustache. That doesn't mess up the seal.
That's perfect, man. It's like those, what you know, is those one-liners that kind of get thrown out that some people might catch and some people won't, but I love it, man. Okay, fatherhood, man. Of course, here at Art of Fatherhood, we love getting everybody's take on fatherhood, and that's one of the reasons why I brought you in. And folks, yep, listen, Joe is the opening, he did the liners for me for the show, so thank you to that, man, for making that possible.
Oh, you got it, man.
And,
no problem.
Yeah, what popped in your mind when you found out you're going to be a dad, sir?
Just Google. I was like, oh, well, first, I got to Google. First, I'm like, we're getting rid. I was like, I was throwing out all my, like, clothes that made me look older. That was, I was like, all right, I started working out, like, hardcore. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be, like, a manly dad. And just, like, it was just funny. I was going into, like, because I was working in Boston. On my lunch breaks, I'd go into, like, Marshall's or, like, some place where I get, like, kids' clothes and just, like, all right, this would be cool. I knew it was going to be a boy. All right, we'll get this. Then it was just, like, I just didn't want to, like, my main thing was, like, all right, I don't know how to change diapers. I'm screwed. I don't want to drop them. I don't want to. It was very, like, I had to, patience was, like, my big thing. I'm like, I'm a patient person to a point.
Yeah.
But if I have to ask somebody, like, five times to do the same. So then, like, you know, then, like, all right, is my dad, you know, parenting going to rub off on me? I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. It was all that stuff. So it was just, you know, my mind was just going everywhere. And my wife was like, it'll be fine. Just, you read books, you try to get, you know, advice. And then at the end of the day, like, you can't. It just, that's a good moneymaker for the baby industry. But for a parent, it's like, you just learn as you go along. Every parent's going to be different. There's no right or wrong. As long as you keep them alive and relatively happy, that's the goal.
Nice, man. And we were talking about your work ethic and, like, the passion you have to, you know, for your craft and all that, and that's one, I think, core value that, you know as well as I do, kids will follow your actions instead of what you tell them, right? And so they'll see, like, how
right,
hard, you know, they'll see how hard you're working, how hard your wife's working, and, you know, in their careers, but also taking care of them. Besides that, talk about some of the other values you're going to look to instill into them as they're growing up.
At the end of the day, like, I just don't want my kids to be dicks. Like, you know, like, I, you know what I mean? I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's Oprah's interviewing me. What do you see? I just don't want them to be dicks, Oprah. I just don't. No, I just, at the end of the day, like, all right, just try. Try, be a good person, be well-rounded. You're still laughing at that. Don't be dicks.
Yeah.
I want to teach them, you know, work ethic. Do something you love. Don't, you know, college is cool. You want to do it, fine. You know, just find a way to do something that you love. Mm. Make money at it. That's it. Be happy. I mean, I'll help you guys out. I'm not going to, there's going to be no handouts. I know that for sure. I'm already planning, like, hey, listen, I already have my own voiceover business. I have a booth. We have a recording studio. You want to come in here and learn some stuff? I'll teach you. I want them to record like all their books because my son's learning how to read right now. Oh, he's reading to me at night. And
yeah.
I want him to record his books. So listen to him. That'll help him. And, you know, because there's not a lot of kids voice actors out there. I mean, I know a few of them, but it's a good side hustle. While you're in school, you can save up. By the time you're in college, you want to go, you'll be able to pay for it. Like,
nice.
I just want to teach them, just be happy. Don't, yeah, the top three. Do what you, number one, don't be a dick. Number two, do what you love. Make money at it. Number three, be happy. Like, and all that stuff, you know, that'll just, you know, have fun. Be a kid. Right now, I just want them to be kids.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, we're in a hurry for them to grow up and be good people. And then you do forget it. Like, my son's only five. Sometimes I talk to him like he's 21. And you gotta, I catch myself doing it. I'm like, all right, listen, he's 5 years old.
Yeah.
He's 5 years old. He doesn't know how to do X. He doesn't know how to do Y. It's like, just let him be a kid. And then, you know, you look back at pictures and you're like, oh man, he used to be so tiny.
How,
there's
going
to be one day he's just going to be, it's just insane. It life is fleeting and they're going to grow up so fast and then they're going to be 21 and out of the house and you're going to call your mom. Like, it's going to be that very soon.
You know, it's funny too. Like, our parents' generation didn't have, cause you mentioned the photos and looking at like when they were smaller and younger and all that other stuff and how fast time flies.
Yeah.
Our parents' generation never had the Facebook memories, right? Like, I'll get a hit with one of them with my daughters. My daughters are 11 right. and 9, and all of a sudden I'll see when they're like 2 yep. and 5, and I'm like, oh, man, like, God, why? Why'd you have to open this up, right?
Yeah, that's like, I don't even go on Facebook anymore. It's like, you see that memories, and I'm like, oh, okay, somebody pushing anti-vaccinations and political crap. I'm like, all right, Chris, but that's what I got on Facebook. Cool. But I'll take those memories.
Like, at the gym, this is going to probably sound weird. Like, I'll listen to, like, audiobooks while I'm working out if I'm done, like, listening to, like, my, you know, my music selection and all that stuff. I was thinking about this, too. Like, have you done any of that, or is that something you would want to get into, voicing novels and books for audio, like Audible and all that stuff?
I've done it, and I've done one or two. Nothing crazy long, but, I mean, that's just not for me. It's one of those things. It's like, and this is me being the businessman. It doesn't pay that well.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could do a commercial or an explainer video and do like three or four of those. Those will take me an hour to do all four. You know what I mean? I'll bang them out real quick and I can get just as much as an audiobook. It's just, you know, it's a marathon.
Yeah.
It is. I've had friends who've done audiobooks like, dude, I hate this. I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought you liked audiobooks. Yeah, but I didn't read the book before I did it. And I'm on the last page, and I just figured out that the guy's supposed to have an Irish accent. I recorded the whole book. He records the whole book with just a regular accent. So I'm like, that's on you there, buddy boy. That's on you. Not my problem. You didn't read the whole book.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. And one more question before the fatherhood quick five. What is one big piece of advice you offer to new dads?
Trust your wife. Just listen to your wife. Hmm. Like, that's because they'll know. They'll know what they're doing. It's just instilled in them. There's an instinct. Trust your wife. Don't take any advice from anybody else. Just the two of you, work it out. Just that's it. Don't listen to your mother-in-law. Your father. Well, that's how it. Well, you know what? It's my kid. I'm gonna raise him how I want you.
Yep. Well said, sir.
It's
nice.
So frustrating, but yeah, I'm just glad my mother-in-law has a place to live now.
It's funny though too. Once you tell someone, like, I always thought it was funny as you got older into the stage where people thought you should have kids. They're like, "So are you trying for kids?" It's like, yeah, so you're actually asking me if I'm it's having like sex with my wife, right? Like, if I'm having sex is what you're asking me. And then two, And then two, once you have kids, like once you tell people, like, oh, you know, when you get to the third trimester, you can tell that everybody will know that, you know, my wife's pregnant. They're like, all right. And like, this is what you got to do, right? And even though I just asked you one piece of advice, but like everybody, if the two places you get advice most from, if you say you're having a kid, they'll throw it down. And two, for some reason, if you say, oh, I'm going to Disney World, people who've gone to Disney, like, this is how you got to do it. So babies and Disney.
You gotta get the fast pass. You gotta get the fast pass. Don't have dinner with Mickey's and dicks. I was like, shut up. Just like, let me do what I want. It's my money, mind your business. Gotta get the fast pass, man. You gotta get the fast. Come on. Let me just sit in line and sweat like everybody else. This is how the kids learn patience. Shut up. Nice. You gotta get the refillable. The best bang for your buck is those refillable Coke cans, man. Like those bottles. Gotta get a turkey leg. You gotta go, man. Gotta get a turkey leg.
So damn true, man. Nice. Now I got the Fatherhood 5. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one right now?
We watch Home Alone. I know because everybody can kind of watch. We do Home Alone. We have a bunch, though. My kids always want to watch like movies like on the weekends. During the week, like they'll come home and it'd be almost time to go to bed from school. But like, like we love Home Alone. We love Disney's Cars.
Nice.
Frozen's big. Frozen's always like a classic for kids. Or Mary Poppins. They like the old one and the new one. There's just there's so many movies I want to show them, and I'm like, oh, I can't show them Terminator 2. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. You know what I mean? But my son, whenever he sees a bridge, he'll have to quote the line from True Lies. He's like, Dad, look at the bridge. The bridge is out. And my son will do all that. So I'm like, oh, you're a funny man. Or my daughter's saying hasta la vista now. It's like, we're a big movie family. Or my son, he said to me on the first day of school, he gets on the bus. He looks around, he gets to the top of the stairs, turns around, he goes, stay here, I'll be back. And he gets on the stairs. I was crying. I wish I had it on tape. I wish. He had it perfect. I'm like, wow, you can't teach that timing. That's good, man. Oh, it was great.
Followed your footsteps, Joe. Like, I love it. Yeah, that's great, man. favorite family song, or is there a band you were excited to introduce them to?
Oh, Queen. We love Queen. Love Queen. They love Queen. They like Michael Jackson. They listen to Thriller like all the time. I'm like, all right, it's not Halloween anymore. Let's slow it down. Because I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, but if anything gets old, you watch it enough times or listen to it enough times.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're big on Queen. Kids love Queen.
Nice, man. Perfect vacation. Where would it be?
Ooh. I mean, Disney's great for kids, but like when they're all older, like I want to take them to Europe. I want to go to London with my son, or even like Ireland, and just have like a pint of Guinness or a glass of whiskey with him. But I mean, we've been all over Europe. I want to take the kids to Iceland. Like, I just want them to see there's other stuff than the United States. Because once you get out of the country, you realize, wow, the rest of the world is amazing. And it gives you perspective. It's like, okay, there's different values, not just like, you know, must have been this guy's first time in Italy on our honeymoon. The guy's got a NASCAR shirt on, Dale Earnhardt Jr. And he was just like, he says, we were near like Colosseum in Rome, and the ruins just before you get to the Colosseum, there's like these giant, you know, structures, and there's a big building, and it's just giant ceilings. This guy with his NASCAR shirt on is like, hey, now why do they only have one floor if the ceiling's so high? Seems like they're missing out. And I'm just like, wow, way to represent your country there, fella. I was just like, his wife leaves, Kenny, why would you say that? I remember his name was Kenny. Kenny, why would you say that? Me and my wife were dying because I'm trying to dress European because I'm that guy. We got blend in. I mean, I didn't do the fanny pack, but I'm like, all right, we'll get some gelato. We'll just walk around. I'll get some Perry Topsiders, you know, maybe a linen shirt. And she's like, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. Oh, it's great. Because you want to try to fit in. Like, I'm not getting pickpocketed, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You end up sticking out like a sore thumb.
That's fantastic.
I knew it. I told you I should have got Pumas. I should have got my Pumas. I wear Pumas in Italy. I should have done that.
love it. Dream project, what would it be for you? If someone came to you like, hey, man, Joey wants to do this.
I want
to...
Pixar movie. I want to star in a Pixar movie. That's nice. Like, I could die after that. I want to star in a Pixar. And it's tough because, you know, they want big names. That's what sells.
Yeah.
That is what sells these movies. Nobody, you know, Frozen 3 starring Joe Goddard. Who the hell is that? You know what I mean? But I would love... And but people go, if you could voice any character like that's been done before, I'm like, I don't want to do a character that's been done before. Yeah, with the impressions, you can get more out of that. That's fun. Like, I want to voice a character in a Disney Pixar movie that's never been done before.
Yeah,
like that's never been. So it's like, I want that creative environment. I thrive, and I just oh, I love that kind of creative environment because everybody's working 100% on something that's bigger than themselves. You know, I don't want that me. Yeah, I want to star in something, but it's that collaborative energy that goes into it. That's what I get out of it all. You know, the money's cool because that puts food on the table, but that's not what I live for. I live for that, you know, that creative outlet that I need. So yeah. One day I'll make it.
No doubt, man. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Best dad ever.
Nice. Very cool.
Wasn't a dick. You know what I mean? Best dad ever. Wasn't a dick. that's my dad. Like, just, that's my, like, that. That's it. I just want to be known. Like, you know, he was the greatest dad ever, did his best. You know,
I want, you know, like, you like the number one dad t-shirts and be like, best dad ever on the front and the back. Wasn't a dick.
Wasn't a dick. I'm gonna get that made now. I'm gonna have to make those.
People, make sure you follow.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Wasn't a dick. That'll be on my tombstone. Here lies Joe Goddad. Wasn't a dick.
Oh, people, if you love this conversation, make sure you follow Joe on Twitter at @IamJoeGaudette, and also go to his website, joegaudettevo.com, to check out his great work in Disney Pixar. If you're listening, which I know you are, sign this guy to a Disney Pixar movie. You won't regret it. Joe, thanks as always for taking the time to chat with me, man. Always a blast chatting with you, and continued success in the future, man.
No, you as well, brother. I appreciate it, man. This is fun. This is a lot of fun.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.